of God. Verse 3, look at it with me. Pick out these words. I have set my affection. I have given. I have prepared. Let me ask you a question. Are you up to Davidic standards? I have set my affection. I have given. I have prepared. Hallelujah. And here is where Solomon comes onto the scene. I have taken this time in Scripture to bring you up to it so that you should not be brought in on a fragmentary text or on a mere sermon, but that you should see the path of truth mapped out for you in the Scriptures of truth, that none need say, I do not understand, I cannot see. And no excuses will be accepted by God under any conditions. Hallelujah. But first of all, may I ask you, have you been awakened to this great need in your own life for the permanent establishment of the house of God in you? No matter about him or her or those or these, in yourself. Have you? At whatever cost. I don't mean in a great emotional high note or something, say in a conference like this. We haven't reached peak yet. We're a long way from it by some former standards. But here is the great and glorious truth for us to understand, beloved. Amen. Now Solomon comes on the scene. And we're going to read about it. And we read this. David, in verse 29, chapter 29, verse 20, I mean, said to all the congregation, now bless the Lord your God. And all the congregation blessed the Lord God of their fathers and bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord and the King. So apparently it's not wrong to worship a king. Oh, that might have opened your eyes. Did mine when I first read it. They worshipped God and the king. I'm not asking you to start worshipping a king, but what I want to do is to rid you of some sort of airy-fairy notions you may be carrying around. And they sacrificed unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings unto the Lord on the morrow after that day, even 1,000 bullocks, 1,000 rams, 1,000 lambs, with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel, and did eat and drink before the Lord on that day with great gladness. And they made Solomon the son of David king the second time, and anointed him unto the Lord to be the chief governor, and Zadok to be the priest. Then Solomon sat on the throne of the king, of the Lord as king, instead of David his father, and prospered. And all Israel obeyed him. Second time made king. This time made king by the nation. First time made king by his father in a rather more private affair. You can read about it in the first chapter of this book, that is in First Chronicles chapter 1, or how everything about it. That he was going to be usurped by another. But David anointed Solomon to be king. Now the nation reorganized, poised, pointed in the right direction, Everybody seeing that this was right, moving toward it, they all come, and everybody says, yes, we anoint Solomon king. I know the high priest had to do it, but they were saying, we accept this. And remember that on that young man that was king, everything turned. They anointed him king with expectation. They anointed him king for a purpose. You say, yes, to be king. No, not just that. The man that was going to build the house of God. Amen. They'd all come to realize that this fluctuating in and out, up and down, don't know where the ark is. Is it here? Is it there? Is it somewhere else? I'm going talking over years, I know. I don't mean from day to day. They come to the realization that it got to be something got to be done. Now, I don't know whether this is in your life, that you come to a place where you realize that something's got to be done in you. Believing this and believing that, doubting this and doubting that, up here, down there, in and out. Beloved, something's got to be done. Isn't that right? Something that will fix you completely. The realization you must get into your heart is not just that Jesus wants to save you. It's true, he does, he must. But that God wants to live in you. That's what you've got to get into your heart. That is why you draw breath. That is why you are a thinking, moving, sentient being. For God. That's why you were born, first time. That God should ultimately make you his home. And oh, how he longs to do it. I suppose really, first hearing, it becomes rather a sort of God wants, looking for a home. God looking for somewhere to live. Yeah, that's right. You say, is he house hunting? Yes, in the right sense, he is. He, get it, say it to yourself. God wants to live in me, not just be believed in by me, not just trusted by me, not just anything else by me. He wants to live in me. Say that to yourself. And you're on the line of truth. If you have sin, of course he wants to forgive you. If you're unclean, of course he wants to clean up your life. If you don't know, I was going to say Ephraim a bull's foot about these things, he wants you to know. He wants all that. But beloved, he wants to settle down. He wants to live. He wants to stay in you. I'm going to risk my wife's displeasure. She's often threatened me if I won't stop talking about her when I'm preaching, she's going to do all sorts of things to me. Well, I've survived so far. But this is true. It's absolutely true. Now, we've got a nice little flat now we're living in. And you know, my wife doesn't like leaving it. If I say, you come to Zimbabwe, she says, oh, no, I think I'd rather stay at home, dear. Or something like that, you see. Of course, women change their minds at the last minute sometimes. But it's the truth. You got a home, and that's where you want to live. You say, well, God's got heaven. It's not good enough for him. You say, what? Of course it's not. He's going to make a new heaven. You understand that? Heavens are going to be folded up. They're going to be burned up. all these kinds of things. That's not it. God wants human beings. That's why he created us. He wants to live in us, live in us, live in us. Enjoy himself in us. You understand that? He wants to be filled with you. He wants you to be filled with him. That's what he wants, and you're robbing him. Unless, at last, you are coming to see it, and you've got to make up your minds. On what better occasion than this? To come to a place of understanding and see how you've wasted your life so far. Of course, when we're young, we don't think we've done so. Do we? Here is the thing. God wants us to live in you. And when this nation at last saw the move of God, they anointed this young man, whatever other features he had about him, whatever possessions, whatever promises, whatever future he had before him, they knew this. The whole nation had been reorganized and set in line for one thing, and he was anointed for it. They only wanted him to be king for this reason. That's something to understand. Get it? I don't know whether all these many things that work in you that go up to make the populace that lives inside you, thoughts and ideas, this working and that working. No, they haven't got personality. They don't together to make up your personality. But they work this way, that way, the other way. Whether there's something in you that's united with this in your heart, this is what God wants and this is what I'm going to do. They're playing around with Christianity. If not, let me read on in that 29th chapter. Solomon, verse 23, sat on the throne of the Lord as king instead of David, and prospered, and all Israel obeyed him. Listen, beloved, when you come to the place where you will know you're in the center of the Lord's will, and if you like, you sit down on the throne of your own personality in these things, you will find that everything within you will marshal behind your will and purpose to do what God says. But not until you can play around, you can waste what you are and what you have and sing choruses while you're doing it. It's whether or not you're going on. Let's read on all the princes, 24, and the mighty men, and all the sons likewise of King David submitted themselves unto Solomon the king. And the Lord magnified Solomon exceedingly in the sight of all Israel, and bestowed upon him such royal majesty as had not been on any king before him in Israel. And so we're introduced to the second book of Chronicles. I hope you know what the first chapter contains. I believe we've spoken about it here sometime in the past. Chapter 2, verse 1. And Solomon determined to build an house for the name of the Lord and an house for his kingdom. Alleluia. How many of you are determined about this? If I said stand up, and I'm not going to make an appeal. If I said to you stand up, if you're at the place of sheer determination in your heart, and you're not swayed by this or by that, and you're not carried about by winds of doctrine, but that you suddenly become a man, if you like to put it this way, and you said, I am determined. And listen, he hadn't got kingdomitis that we're hearing so much about in these days. He said this, he was going to build it for the name of the Lord first, kingdom second. Going to build it for his name, glory. So that when people came there, they would say, this is the Lord's house. Who lives here? The Lord lives here. That's right. Glory be to the name of the Lord. How tremendous this is, beloved. I tell you this, that once you get this right, all the kingdom stuff will get sorted out in your life. It's a house for the name of the Lord. Now, that's one thing, to come to a determination. Let's look at it very simply. We've come via the scripture all the way. Let's stop here. Here it is. And Solomon told out 70 men. And away he goes. When you make a determination, I want to say this to you, beloved, don't wait 6 months before you do anything about it. He made his determination, and immediately he told out the men, it's going to be done. He put it into operation. Too many people come to a decision, and they put nothing into operation. And within a week, they're back where they were before they made their decision. Oh, hallelujah. He determined. You can be a tender young person, but you can still be determined. You ever seen these little children? Where was I not so long ago? I was staying in a house. And the youngest member of the house, she was a very determined little thing, I can tell you. She determined she was going to be fed first, and she was going to yell till she'd got it, and she was going to do this, and she didn't tell anybody, we just knew. You see, very determined. Listen, beloved, you are born a determined person to get your own way. Now, you've got to get God's way. You've got to come to this place where you say, I'm going to do it. Amen. Yes, I am. I'm going through with it. Oh, glory. I know we can sing choruses like, I have decided to follow Jesus, but this is a long way beyond that. A long way beyond that. Going to build a house. I want everything in me to build up, to be built up into a house for thy glory. Glory, Lord. But this is what he says. He has some sort of little doubt about it. Perhaps you'd like to read it with me in verse 6. Who is able to build him an house? Seeing the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain him, who am I then that I should build him an house? save only to burn sacrifice before him. Now the use of the building is coming into view. Amen. And so it all goes on. Come into chapter 3. Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father, in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen. If you want to know the ground where you start to build, it's the place where the Lord has appeared to you. I don't mean you've had a vision in the sense that people have visions. There are lots of people have visions of angels and I don't know what, and they don't understand that the devil can appear as an angel to them. All that kind of thing. We're living in treacherous days. But here is the great and glorious thing. God appeared. Amen. Now where God appears, that's the place for you to build. Do you know the time when God appeared in your life, when at last you saw him? When at last your vision was clear? When at last, and has it ever happened to you, where you said, I see. I see. Yeah, it's happened to me so many times. If that's not happened to you, you sure aren't a child of God. You have to come to the place where you say, I see. I see. From that moment, you are responsible. It'll be a terrible thing if Jesus had to turn round to you as he did to some people in the New Testament and say, you see. Therefore, your sin remaineth. Oh, does your sin remain when you see? Yes, if you don't act upon what you see. If you say, I see, God showed me, and you don't act upon it, your sin will remain on you. Jesus said that, you can read that in the end of John chapter 9. Oh, what a marvelous thing. To know we're on the foundation. We've got it right. As soon as God appears to you, you've got to start building. As soon as. Amen. Glory. Everything must be going that way from that moment, and what a wonderful thing it is. He built and built and built, and he built until the place was finished. And had we time, which I'm not going to take up tonight, I'm under orders not to overdo it anyway. Here, I don't mean from him. Here is the thing, beloved. You and I have to see to it that we build, and we could go on. You can read it for yourself. When he built, it took him 7 years to do it, but he built it, and nothing turned him back. And I want to tell you that when you start to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ, and that's the only foundation there is, you will find that all the material you need to build into this house of God is already supplied. It's already there. You won't have to look around. You won't have to scratch about. You will find it is all supplied. I pointed it out to you. David said, I prepared. I want to tell you that a greater than David has made every preparation for you. It's all there. You can lay your hand on this and that and the other. I'm using the word hand metaphorically, of course. You can lay about you everywhere and you can start to build. It's all brought to hand. By God the Holy Ghost, you shall lack nothing. Nothing has been overlooked. Everything you need for your particular life, your peculiar personality, I don't mean peculiar in the wrong sense. I mean you are peculiarly you. You have to build. And you've got to do it. And I cannot do it for you. Norman can't do it for you. All the elders, all the preachers, all the prayers in the world can't do it for you. You have to do it. Do you like work? Or do you think the church owes you something? Like people grow up in our country and think the state owes them something. The church owes you nothing but to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ to you. And there the precious materials will be laid around you. Piles of the gold you need and of the silver you need. Piles of the precious things that must be built into your life. Amen. And listen. People, my son, whoever you are, have great expectations of you. Great expectations. The whole nation had great expectations of this young man. And properly so. You see, oh, don't expect too much for them. They've only just got converted. Nonsense. That's the time to expect everything of them. That's shaken you, hasn't it? That's the time. If they've really got born again, they'll have got born clear of a lot of the clutter about which elders sometimes make excuses about their young people. If they get really born of God, the Holy Ghost will bring everything to them. They don't need mollycoddling. They need pointing to the truth. Say, there's the book. That's what I've done. You must do it. That's what they need. Young man, perhaps you're Solomon. First of all, let me ask you, are you a man of peace? Or are you full of warfare and conflict, argument, self-opinionation? What are you full of? You gladly go to verbal war with anybody? Or are you a person of peace? You'll build nothing. Warfare in you will slay everyone and everything around you. You've got to come to peace. We sang it last night. He is our peace. He is our peace. Not what he says. He is our peace. Not what he's done. He is our peace. By what he's done, he will become your peace. Hallelujah. Young man, young woman, we're expecting much of you. You know, you can use all the sort of in phrases about we've got a hand on the torch or something. I'm not speaking of someone expecting to drop into my grave tomorrow. You might be grateful for that, I suppose. But here is the great thing, beloved. You've got to go on. You've got to build. Nobody can build for you, man, woman. You've got to do it. You talk about being anointed, then you're anointed in royalty. And you're to get up and get on with it. You're to build and build and build and give your life to building. You don't want to try and build up the country. You don't want to try and build up a business. You don't want to try and build up anything or anybody. You've got to build up yourselves. That's what you read. Doesn't say get your pastor or elder to build you up. Oh, I know, you can say, well, we're here to build up one another. I know. But you won't build up anything if you don't first build up yourself. Keep that clear. Everything is there. David saw that everything was there. And if you read through 1 Kings, where you have the other record of this thing, you will find that Huram, the king, came and offered. Heathen often to do it. To give that which was necessary for the building of the house of God. Now, wonderful. God will make everything turn to you. Everything. You will be denied nothing. You will be denied the things that you might think are important that God, but God knows is rubbish. You might be denied those. But these great things, beloved, that are going to build you up into a house for God, He will give you freely. They've all been supplied. What are they? I will tell you, they are the characteristics, they are the powers, they are the soul and spirit of that one man, Jesus Christ, who laid down his life that you might take it and build it into yourself. That's why he laid it down. It's all there. The Holy Ghost has come to you for no other reason than to bring you these great qualities of Jesus Christ, that you may have them, lay hold of them, and use them. I won't use the word by faith, because that's the only way you can do it anyway. It's tautology. Here is the thing. You are to lay hold of them and use them and get them into your life and get the other rubbish out. That's what you're to do. Had I read on in that chapter in 1 Corinthians, you would have found that there are those who are building wood and hay and stubble. They got the foundation right, but from the moment they got the foundation right, in other words, the moment they really got saved, they started to build rubbish into their lives. That's not an invention of mine. It's in the Bible. What are you building for the name of God? What are you building for His house? What have you been building in so far? Let the fire of God come and burn out the rubbish. Let Him deal with it. Beloved, it is no friend of yours. It will be nothing but ashes, and ashes will be a bitter flavor to your drink. You must move on into these great things. Let God deal with us all. Solomon determined to build. Determined to build. And he knew it all lay there for him, gathered in abundance. He had the goodwill of every person that knew the truth, that the time had come for the house of God to be built. He had the backing and the ordering of everything that his great father had saved for him. He knew that. Everything was done. When he was yet young and tender, it was done. There was foresight. Here was provision beforehand. Beloved, in your youngness and in your tenderness, get hold of the truth and get going. I remember, I mustn't start telling stories. I'll leave that to Norman. But here's one. I knew a man many, many years ago in the first pastorate I ever held. That is a long time ago. He was deaf. He was an old Yorkshire miner. Sorry, it was the second pastorate I had. He was an old Yorkshire miner. He had a daughter that used to come and join us in prayer. And one day she said, would I go and see her father? And he had a big operation. He'd had a cancer taken from him. Oh, and it was all thing, and he knew it was the end of his life. He was so deaf you couldn't speak to him hardly. If you did speak to him, all the neighborhood heard, because he was sitting outside on a chair, one of those old Yorkshire terraced houses, if you know anything about Bradford, where I happen to be. And he sat there this day as white as a sheet. He'd hardly got up from the hospital bed. And I went and talked to him, and he sat there, and I yelled into his ear. He was as deaf as deaf as deaf. Seemed to breed them in Yorkshire. We had a... it's true, I'm telling you the truth. We had a lovely elder who was as deaf as a beetle almost. And I yelled into his ear, and I told him the story of Jesus. I told him of the love of God. I told him what Christ could do for him. And as I spoke, the tears ran down his face. He said, why didn't somebody tell me this 40 years ago? Why didn't somebody tell me this 40 years ago? He said. And he sat there and wept for what he'd lost, and turned to joy for what he'd gained. That's it. And you build rubbish into your life. You'll give it Christian names. You'll excuse it under any heading. But God has put it in the Bible, and that's what he will hold you to. And me. Gold, silver, everything precious. Something that Jesus released for me on the cross. Something for which he laid down that life that I might have it. Thank you, Jesus. One God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And you are letting it slide. And you're letting it go. And you're choosing all these other things instead. Giving them lovely Christian names and making all kinds of references and excuses for them. And God says, out with it. Oh, may God bless us these days as we go through together. I'm not going to make an appeal to you. God's already done that. Will you make your determined stand? Will you? You can come into the inheritance of all your great forebears in the truth. Solomon stepped into it. Oh, God, bless us. Make your determination. Straight on, make your dispositions. Turn your back on everything. Move on, saying, Lord, from now on, I'm building the house of the Lord. That's what I'm doing. And remember, what you build will be there for eternity. A testimony to who you are and what you are and how you've used time and opportunities. Hallelujah. Now make your response, whichever way you want. It must be for His name first, not for yours. Not for the kingdom first of all. For Him. For His name. Meaning something of which He would not be ashamed and will want to live in. Say, that's my house. Nothing in His house of which He would be ashamed. Nothing. Make your response. Deep enough for it to rise to highest heaven. Real enough so that from this moment everybody will see your determination and the way you've chosen. You know it will mean great changes. At last somebody will say, she's stable at last. He's on the right foundation at last. That's what they'll say. Amen. Wonderful Lord. Wonderful Lord. Hallelujah. My King, in all.